Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
Last time we talked about theme parks on Air Talk, we heard from listeners who were excited about the possibility of being able to get tickets and go to a park with just a fraction of the typical number of visitors that you would have on a given day. Imagine no lines, everybody keeping their distance, masks on, that it might actually be a better theme park experience. Well, we want to find out from you if that's absolutely true. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. If you've been to a Southern California theme park that's reopened during this time of the pandemic, what was that experience like? 866-893-5722. We begin with LA's reporter who covers arts, entertainment, and theme park attractions, Mike Rowe. Mike, so good to have you with us this morning. Have you been out and visited any of the parks during this reopening period?
I haven't just yet because, you know, it's one thing that's been difficult is because of limited capacity. Some of them are kind of hard to get into. There are days where Disneyland is getting very full because fans were very excited to get back. But I'm looking forward to going back there soon.
I saw that Disneyland, when they increased its allotment of tickets because of the tier change and the number of tickets available increase, that they just went in just an incredibly fast period of time. People were waiting to pounce once they were available online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, I have some friends who've been down there and were like getting their strategies ready to be able to go out, to be able to go to the parks in person. And hearing back, it's been a good experience for them. You know, people have enjoyed being able to be out there. People have worn masks and been socially distanced. It'll be interesting to see, you know, now Orange County being in the yellow tier today, the capacity can increase from 25% to 35% of the maximum capacity. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes things. And then also, so once all the restrictions get lifted, what will that be like?
All right. Again, I'd like to hear from you if you visited any of the theme parks under these COVID-19 protocols, and if you're an employee at any of the parks, I'd like to hear what you have to say as well. The last time we talked about this, we heard from some Disney employees who were very excited about being able to get back to work. Obviously, a little bit of trepidation over the uncertainties of reopening, but very, very happy to get back to the park. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Josh in San Pedro says, my partner and I went to Knott's. Almost everyone was wearing their mask. There were signs about keeping your mask up. Mainly only two people I saw wore face shields instead of masks. We had a very good time. That's Josh in San Pedro, who went with his partner to Knott's. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Again, employees of any of the parks as well. We'd love to hear from you. Also with us, the Director of Marketing and Sales for Raging Waters Los Angeles, Al Garcia. Mr. Garcia, thank you very much for joining us. When will the park in San Dimas reopen?
Hey there. Thanks for having me. Raging Waters Los Angeles kicks off its 2021 season in just a little over 9 days on Saturday, May 29th. So we're looking forward to welcoming guests back out to the park.
And given that you're a water park, I wonder if there are some additional protocols that are in place that maybe wouldn't be there at a Disneyland or Knott's.
Yeah, probably about a few weeks back, we got reopening guidelines from the state of California and started getting the message out there to our fans that we are reopening. The biggest difference that you will see at a water park, including Raging Waters this summer, is the fact that, you know, when you're going on a water attraction, a water slide, or waiting in line for a water slide, you're not going to be asked to or required to wear a face covering. A lot of that is due to safety reasons. You know, you can't go into water with a face covering on. But that's going to be the big difference between what you see at, say, a theme park with roller coasters and a water park.
All right. And you use something like 600 seasonal workers at Raging Waters. We've heard about so many businesses that have had a hard time hiring people. Have you been able to staff up to meet this opening in 9 days?
Yeah. So during our peak season, once we're in the full swing of summer, we do have 600 team members that are working in the park. As we open for the season, we won't have that full 600, just because, you know, crowds aren't what they are once we first open, compared to what they will be in the peak of summer. But we are fully staffed for our opening weekend and ready to go. There's been a lot of interest from applicants. And, you know, we attribute that to a few different things, from an increased starting wage at $15 an hour, as well as a really cool incentive to where if an applicant gets hired and goes through an orientation process before May 30th, they get a family 4-pack of season passes, one for themselves and 3 for their family members or friends.
That's nice inducement. Now, for those that are in the water, I presume they're not going to be wearing masks when they're actually on one of the features or in the water.
That is correct. And as I mentioned, that is really a safety requirement, that, you know, when you're in water, you definitely want to be able to not have your face covered. And that's something that, you know, working alongside with local and state officials, they determined that face coverings will not be required in or around any of the water activities. You will still need a face covering if you are walking into one of our gift shops or as you're entering the park and getting a locker and kind of getting situated throughout the day. And then even when you're at your cabana or just lounging. But yeah, once you go into a pool or wait for a slide, or when you're traveling from an attraction to an attraction, you will not be required to wear a face covering.
We're talking with Raging Waters Director of Marketing and Sales, Al Garcia, works for the San Dimas-based water park. Let's take some listener calls. Karen in Gardena, I understand you went to Universal a couple weeks ago?
I sure did. Thank you for having me on. It was at 30% capacity. We're season pass holders, and I mean, my husband jumped on the opportunity, but there was hardly any social distancing in the actual lines. Now, when you boarded the rides, they would they had enough space in between. The food area was they had a lot more food areas where people had to sit in designated areas to eat. That was fine. Now, towards the end, because they reached capacity and they closed, when we were leaving it, which was like 6 o'clock, then you could see that it was a lot better. There was social distancing, but when we got there at 10 in the morning, it was packed.
Wow. Now, Hmong in Hollywood also called to say he's a Universal pass holder, so he's gone twice, and he said that because the capacity of the rides has been cut to providing distancing, that the lines are actually longer for the rides, even though the overall crowd size is smaller. Karen, when you went a couple of Saturdays ago, were the lines at the rides long?
They were. I would say the Transformers or Jurassic Park was 160 minutes long.
Wow.
I have a son who's special needs, so we have the fast pass that allows us to go in with him. So we didn't have to wait that long. But even though we have to make appointments to get into the rides, our wait time was about an hour, and then we would come back and ride.
All right. Karen, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Let's talk next with Eva in Santa Monica. So you went to Disneyland on Mother's Day, I understand. Sounds like fun, was it?
It was. It was great. They did a great job with the social distancing on the lines. You know, they have all these people working, so that when the lines got long, you know, there'd be a person with a sign who would show you where to stand, and they were really on top of it. The lines, we did the park hopper, so we went from, we started in California Adventure and then went into Disneyland. And, you know, certain, the lines were kind of long, and there's no max pass right now, so you can't do, like, the reservation kind of thing. But it really wasn't, it was not, the lines were not that bad. The food was a little wacky.
Yeah, what was going on with that?
Well, they've closed a lot of the restaurants, you know, a lot of the restaurants there are sort of cafeteria style, so all of those are shut down. And what they've done at certain places is they've, their menus are smaller, and you have to mobile order everything. So you just, once we figured that out, we could get ahead of it, but you have to mobile order, and then they give you a window, and then you got to show up in that window, and then you're waiting to get your food again. So lunch was kind of a mess, but by dinner, we had it going on.
So not the spontaneity you'd usually have. Oh, look at that, you know, and go over and decide to eat in the moment. So, Eva, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Let's talk with Kevin in Chatsworth. Kevin, I understand you were at Disneyland just a couple days ago?
Yeah, just on Monday. And it was great. Everybody was very well behaved and participated in keeping social distance. And the staff were constantly cleaning everything. The wait times were about what it would normally be for a ride. And the lines went through different areas so that people weren't so compacted. And I agree with Karen. The really tricky part was ordering food. Everybody was very confused on how to get that done. But they opened up free Wi-Fi for the whole park, which made it a lot easier to order.
Is there something, Kevin, the park could have done to better explain the protocol for ordering food through the app?
Yeah, they really need to have somebody at each food area to explain what to do, because everybody waited in line. And when you got up there, they explained that you needed to order it through the app, and then you had to wait an hour to get your food. So they just had somebody standing there explaining it to everybody, then it would have worked easier.
All right, Kevin, thanks very much. And Iris in Silver Lake, I understand you went Sunday to Disneyland, and you were going to comment about the characters. They didn't have as many as typically out on the streets there?
No, they didn't. They were actually, like, secret barricaded off from the visitors, which was still nice to actually see them. But, yeah, I'm going back for the opening of Avengers Land in California Adventure, and I'm hoping that there'll be more characters because it's a more character-based thing.
Yeah. And, Iris, how would you compare your visit 3 days ago with a typical Disneyland visit? Did it provide the same amount of pleasure?
It provided, there was like pros and cons because, you know, the lines, yes, were long, but I think they moved much faster than normal. Also, like all of the pre-planning, I actually went with someone who is a theme park designer for a different company. So he knew all of the secrets on the app and all of these crazy high-tech things that I didn't know. I haven't gone to Disneyland in 10 years, and I had no idea. It was pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, he should do that as a paid tour, because I'm sure a lot of people would love to go with your friend. Iris, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Richard in Simi Valley wonders about, with Raging Waters, how will, say, the lazy rivers work? Al Garcia of Raging Waters, just real briefly, how do you distance on that?
Yeah, so similar to us limiting capacity, our operations team is working to limit the number of guests that are in each pool. At the entrance of our Lazy River and also our Wave Pool, we'll have attendants kind of monitoring the number of folks that are enjoying those attractions. We'll also have a limited number of tubes, which are typically in those rides anyway. And then we'll be continually reminding folks that are not part of the same party to, you know, kind of keep their distance, maybe an extra tube's length in the water, just to kind of maintain that, because it may be a little difficult, but we also need the guest cooperation as well to ensure that, you know, there is distance between different parties.
Well, and presumably there'll be things you learn in those first couple of days that you'll be able to implement to improve the process once the patrons come back to Raging Waters, Los Angeles, located in San Dimas. Al Garcia, Director of Marketing and Sales, thanks very much for being with us and previewing what's to come in 9 days with the reopening of Raging Waters.
Thanks for having me.
And Mike Rowe, always a pleasure to have you on Talking Theme Parks. I understand you've got a forthcoming book, the 30 Rock book, Inside the Iconic Show, From Blurg to EGOT. It's available for pre-order. Mike, thanks very much, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, Mike Rowe, you can read his reporting for LAist.com. He covers arts, entertainment, and theme park attractions. Coming up, we continue in an entertainment vein. It's the Triple Play. Nick Roman, A. Martinez, and me will take a look at the Lakers' big play-in game tonight. It's a postseason game, but not a playoff game. We'll explain what that means and what the Lakers need to do. And we'll also tell you about the fortunes of Dodgers and Angels. Dodgers on the rise after a terrible stretch. The Angels looking closer and closer to a lost season with a big injury to Mike Trout and a team that struggled with many different areas. We'll be back with the Triple Play in just 90 seconds.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.